This is the Oral History Project 2. My name is Mildred Menlo. My partner is Ruth Weiner. And this is May 18, 1989. And we are interviewing you at your home, Betty Ann Simon. Mrs. Simon, there is a great deal of information that we want. Our background of you is sketchy, and we're going to have to ask you to fill it in. The first thing we are interested in is your personal background, your immediate family, your father, your mother, and his siblings. History of the family background. Now let's start with you and your name.
Well, I'm Betty Ann Goodman Simon. And Mrs. David Simon. I have two children. I have a daughter who has a daughter, and a son whose wife is pregnant. And they all live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh. Well, what is your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Paula, and my son's name is David.
What is her last name?
Paula Eisner.
Yes.
Paula Simon Eisner, and her daughter's name is Susan.
How old is
your my first grandchild, and she will be 2 on June 1st.
Nice.
And it's been the most wonderful experience. I always wanted to be a grandmother, but once it happened, it was the best thing I think I ever happened to me in my life. I love it.
They live in Atlanta.
And they all of them live in Atlanta.
Yeah. How that
happened? Well, my daughter is a graduate of Penn, and then University of Pittsburgh social work, has her master's in social work. And when she finished that, she went looking for a job, and her first choice was in Pennsylvania, but there weren't jobs available then. This was 11 years ago. So we thought that the nearest major community that might have openings would be Atlanta. We knew the Philadelphia, Washington area wouldn't be a good idea. So she went to Atlanta, and she is a medical social worker in the DeKalb General Hospital right outside of Atlanta.
And what does her husband do?
Her husband is in the seafood, fish, and supply business to restaurants and country clubs and hotels.
That's interesting. Okay. And your son, what does
his
he
name?
Do?
He's Gary.
Yeah.
Gary Eisner. E-I-S-S-N-E-R. Double S is unusual. And then I have my son, David, and he's married to Sharon. And Sharon has 2 R's, which is unusual. And David is the manager of a retail health and beauty aid. The chain of stores is not one that's in this area, so you wouldn't be familiar with it. But it's something on the order of a Thrift or Rite Aid or one of those big multi-purpose.
And he lives in Atlanta.
And
too.
He moved to Atlanta because his sister was there. And he had been in Florida, working in Florida, and he didn't really want to come back to Pittsburgh because of the weather. He had gotten, both of them now are spoiled as far as having mild winters are concerned. But he wanted family, and Paula used every bit of persuasion she had to get him there. And he moved to Atlanta and met Sharon, and they expect a baby in July.
Oh, that's nice. Let's get back to you.
Okay. I was born in McGee Hospital on the coldest night of the ever was, my father said. The tires were frozen to the cement when he came out of McGee Hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the funny thing is that Sylvia Robinson, I don't know whether you know Sylvia
or
not. Well, we're twins. We were, in fact, born within a few hours of one another. And her family always comments about what a cold night it was. So it must have been.
It must have been a cold night.
It must have been a cold night. And I'm an only child. Yes, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I'm an only child. My mother was a semi-invalid. She had gotten rheumatic fever during World War I, and that was diagnosed as a flu at the time. And it left her with a heart problem, which they discovered when she was pregnant.
Where is she from?
My mother was born in Philadelphia. Her mother and father had a fascinating experience. Her parents, my grandparents, met on the streetcar on the way to Coney Island.
Oh,
and they finally had to elope because my mother's mother, my grandmother, who I never knew, she died when she was 42, and my mother died when she was 42. But she was a non-Jew. She was a Christian. And they had to elope because her father threatened to kill my grandfather if he came anywhere near her, and she ran away and met my grandfather, and they eloped to Philadelphia, where my grandfather, whose name was Ben Cohen, was, I think, probably one of the most outstanding shoe men in the world in the time that he was active. He started.
Where did they live?
He started out in Philadelphia, Dalsimer's, and then Kaufman's brought him to Pittsburgh in 1917, somewhere around there, 1919, sometime around there. And when my grandfather retired in 1948, Kaufman's had the largest shoe department of any store in the United States. They did more business than I. Miller's. You may have known my grandfather.
Yes, I did. I knew Al Galanti.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I knew him.
Yeah. And that was always so funny, too. My grandfather was born in New York. His mother was born in England. His father was born in Berlin. And but my grandfather was as blonde could be, as was his mother. And, of course, having a non-Jew wife, all the fairness and blondness in the family was attributed to that, and, of course, it wasn't true. All the blondness came right smack down through the Cohens.
And
my
father.
Granddaughter is as blonde as she can be. My father... my father was born in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. His father came to the United States.
His name was?
Bernard Goodman. Barney Goodman. Everybody knows him as Barney Goodman.
Well,
yeah. And he came, Daddy was born in Connellsville. His father was born in, Vilna or someplace, and came to this country when he was 13 years old all by himself. And he started out rolling cigars in Baltimore, where he landed, and it infected his fingers. But he had made such an impression on the man that owned the cigar factory that he staked him. And he had a pack, and he got from Baltimore to Connellsville and selling whatever you carry in a pack. And settled in Connellsville and opened a men's clothing store.
And take it from there.
Samuel Goodman. In fact, he was pretty well known in the Connellsville area. And, of course, my father just loved being from Connellsville. No matter where he went in the world or wherever we were, he would always find somebody from Connellsville. It never failed. Even a dentist that I went to at Wellesley when I was a senior in college, whose wife was from Connellsville. They said to me, Goodman, you're from Pittsburgh. Isn't that near Connellsville? I said, Connellsville. She was in Daddy's high school class. I mean, it is just wonderful, I guess, to be from a small community. You could be real.
Where did your father go to school?
Daddy was a graduate of Pitt and Pitt Law School. And practiced law until he literally could no longer see, and died in December 17th, 1987.
Where did you go to school?
Well, I was a very privileged young lady. I went to Winchester Thurston School from the third grade to graduation, to Wellesley College, and to University of Pittsburgh, to the Research Bureau for Retail Training, a master's, a sort of semi-sort of master's degree, from there in 1951. Graduated from college in 1950.
And then what did you do?
Well, I was supposed to go to work at Kaufman's and in the baby department and be the assistant buyer. And instead, I got engaged and got married and never went to work. Which all of it just seems, when I think about it now and how women's roles have changed, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, why didn't I go to work? Nobody I knew went to work, that's why. And it was foolish. I wish I had. But I did, in fact, go to work in 1969, so full-time in retailing. So that sort of, I sort of was ahead of my group, anyway, at that time.
What is your husband's background? Where was he born?
My husband is from Philadelphia, born and raised there. His parents were Bernice and Malin Simon.
Malin?
M-A-H-L-O-N. And David, I think one of the most interesting things about David's background is that his grandfather, the original David Simon, graduated from Swarthmore and from the University of Pennsylvania Law School in 1870 something or other.
Isn't that interesting?
I've always thought that was amazing. Amazing. I mean, you don't know too many Jewish people who've had that
sort of background. That's right, Swarthmore.
Yeah. And he practiced law in Philadelphia. I never knew him. My mother-in-law, Bernice Block Simon, her father was born in Zurich, Switzerland. And her mother was born in, I forget whether it was Ohio or Wisconsin. And they got together and her maiden name was Hinlein. H-I-N-L-E-I-N. My Dave's grandmother. We called her Doody. Her name was Florence.
And your husband's education background?
Dave is a chemical engineer, graduate of Lehigh University, and he's an industrial water consultant and has become quite well known in the field, which is a very specialized field, and he's the program chairman, as a matter of fact, for this year's International Water Conference, which happens to be held in Pittsburgh every year. And so that keeps him very busy because he's sort of semi-retired now from working at NUS Corporation.
What is that?
N, capital U, capital S. He retired from there and now works part-time for a company called the Cyrus Rice.
C-Y-R-U-S?
Yeah, consulting group. It's all in water. Dave specializes, as I say, in industrial water. So when people say, "Can you help me with my swimming pool?" The answer is no.
Tell us a little bit about your early life, your growing up.
Well,
your
I grew
life.
Up on Beacon Street, the highest house in Squirrel Hill, 6413 Beacon Street. It's above Beth Sholem, up at the top of the hill. And as I said before, I was an only child, and my mother was not well. I guess I had the extra responsibilities as a child, I guess, because of my mother's health. But I remember very clearly that she worked for council. She was in charge, because she was at home, of a program that they had where people turned in their symphony tickets to her over the telephone. And then she called the symphony, and because she had a list of mainly refugees at the time, people who had come out of Nazi Germany. And she would go down her list and call and see who was available to use the tickets, and then call the symphony office and make arrangements for that to happen.
It was very interesting.
When it had to be during the war, and I was a teenager. But she started having really serious problems when I was about 12 years old. So that they would excuse me from Winchester. Winchester had a program at that point set up that you had your classes in the morning and study hall in the afternoon. And they would excuse me from the study hall, and I would do my homework at the hospital, because my mother was spending so much time at the hospital during the war, and there was a real, you know, nursing shortage. So that was something that sticks out in my mind.
What were your involvements as you were growing up? Any particular hobbies?
I was a councilette, believe it or not. I can even show you a picture of me as a councilette taken in Ruth Helen Kaufman's house when I was like 15 years old.
What did that entail?
Really nothing. They were trying to start a young people's group.
Yes, I remember that. They were trying to involve them at an early age.
Yeah.
So they would.
And it was just, it was nice. It was a clubby, you know, reason to get together. I was very interested in sports at that stage. I was used to stay after school and play hockey and basketball and baseball with my, you know, class team. And I'm trying to think. I was a SOP. That was a Jewish sorority, high school sorority. All of which I wouldn't approve of today at all. but, you know, meant the world in those days. What else did I do?
Go to Sunday school?
Oh, sure. I was confirmed from Rhoda Sholem in 1944.
Yes.
That was a problem. I'm thinking about it now. The Winchester, it wasn't easy being Jewish in
not
those
Winchester
days. And they would have, I remember the day, my confirmation was on a Sunday. And everybody had parties in those days for when you were confirmed. And the families got together. I had a confirmation party with B.B. Miller, that's Dr. Felix Miller, and Chucky Powdermaker, who died years ago, and at the Shenley Hotel. And oh, everybody had this sort of thing, and the next day we had exams. I mean, they made no allowance. If school started on Yom Kippur, it started on Yom Kippur. I mean, they could care less. And if you didn't go to school, you didn't get your books. I mean, they would probably run out of books, and it was always an enormous dilemma as to whether or not you should go to school or not on a high holiday. And most of us, I'm sorry to say, did whatever they wanted us to do. I remember it was one of the Blattner twins. I don't even know whatever happened to those girls. who refused at graduation, she was a few years older than I was, to go into the sacristy, or whatever you call it, at the Calvary Church. She said, I'm a Jew and I'm not going to do that. And I remember everybody, including all the Jewish girls, were absolutely shocked that somebody would do that. And of course, I look back on it now and wish I'd had that kind of courage and understanding of what's important.
Your father was active at the temple for a long time, wasn't he?
Not really the temple. Daddy was very active at the Jewish home, the hospital for the aged. And he was one of the founders and the first president, and for many years the president of Riverview. He had the big portrait of Daddy hanging in Riverview. That was his love. That was his thing. Yes, worked at the temple. I remember he was in it. Even before my mother died, he was in the men's club at the temple. And I remember that later on he was on the board of Montefiore, and he was always, of course, active at that Federation because of
the home
and everything else. And my father remarried in 1948 to Eleanor Dreyfus Blum Goodman, who I'm happy to say is still fine and dandy and living at 5100 Fifth Avenue. And that's when I got a stepbrother and two stepsisters in 1948. Jack Blum, Jr., Janet Johnson, and Connie Marstein, M-A-R-S-T-I-N-E,
I know.
Our
first name is?
Constance.
I know Helen very well.
Those are Ellie's children.
Yeah. Did you have any special involvements at the temple, other than going to Sunday school and becoming confirmed?
Confirmed, and no, not when I was a youngster, no.
What were your interests, any cultural interests special that you were interested in as you were growing up?
My mother was an avid opera listener too, the Metropolitan Opera on Saturdays. And I went to the concerts every once in a while with my dear friend then, Ellen Bachman. I can't say that. I think I've always been much more interested in theater. But my husband plays the piano and is devoted to music. And consequently, we have become, we go to the Y concerts and we go to the symphony. And with that exposure over the years, I have grown to love the symphony. And anything, and we'd like to do little parodies and stuff like that for, when our friends have an occasion or something like that. He's very talented at the piano.
In your school days, I realized the problems at Winchester. Did you make many friends there?
Yes. Yes, I had a regular bridge game every day at lunchtime at Winchester. And I had a whole group of friends, both Christian and Jewish. I hope I never was cliquey. As I say, I stayed after school and I played in all the games, and I had a lot of friends, and I still to this day have a friend from Winchester. Kitty McDonald Blanco lives outside of Philadelphia. I guess that's part of the reason that I've been able to deal with the community today. I'm out there in the community in general. Most of the things I do involve.
We understand Winchester Thurston's attitude as far as your holidays and things are concerned, but did you encounter any anti-Semitism while you were there?
Yes, without a question of a doubt. Definitely.
From the administration or the kids?
No, from some kids and just from being out there. I remember being taken to lunch at the Duquesne Club as a, I was in my junior or senior year at Winchester and having people at the next table saying how terrible Jews were. They were talking about Pearl Richbaum, the grocery store. I remember that story.
Oh, sure.
And it was there, and it was very obvious. The administration, I don't think, was so. Miss Mitchell wasn't so. She was okay. We had an incredible experience our senior year. Janie Kalaman, Janie Arcus.
We interviewed her.
Well, I know she is just devoted to Winchester to this day, so I don't know whether she'd even remember to tell you that she was the first Jewish editor of the yearbook.
Did she tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And as a result, the Alumni Association got very upset. And Miss Mitchell came to me, and she said, I want you to get the Jewish girls from the 8th grade up and meet in my office. And I remember, it has come back to me so many times over the years, they go down the rows of the study hall and tapping the Jewish girls on the shoulder. And Miss Mitchell wants to see us, sort of thing. And it's just so reminiscent. And whenever you see anything in a, of course I overdramatize. That's my nature. the selection process. It was very, very upsetting.
What did she do?
And she wanted to tell us that anything that we had heard, she was not going to be part of that. She made it very clear that. She had no part of anything like that, because evidently the year before, we had the largest Jewish class that they'd ever had. There were 15 Jewish girls in our class of 60. Miss Mitchell had opened that school up pretty well because of all the trouble. At Alderdice there was trouble, and there were and a lot of people were banging on the doors, and she opened them up and let in, and we had. I had been the only Jewish girl in my class of six people for, years in the lower school. And here we have this sizable group, and evidently the year before that hadn't been so. There were only four Jewish girls in the class of 1945, and not one of them got into the college of their first choice. And all of them were very capable kids. And I think she got a lot of flack from that. And then having this problem come up about the yearbook, she wanted to make sure we all knew that she didn't have any part in any of that.
Very interesting.
And I got into the college of my first choice.
Tell us something about Wellesley.
Well,
your year is there.
When I got to Wellesley as a freshman, the typical thing to do is to take your child up when you go for interviews and stuff like that. Well, I couldn't do that. I had had my mother had been ill. When I arrived on that campus, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. It was the most beautiful place I have ever been. I still feel that way. I loved and adored it. I loved being there. The whole 4 years I loved being there. I had some pretty rough adjustments because my mother died after I was there only 5 weeks, and that was bad. That was tough. And I had mainly the reaction to that in my sophomore year as opposed to right away.
Hmm.
I had.
In what way?
Oh, I couldn't. I'd been home that summer, and it was the summer, you know, it really hits you when you're home. When I was away, it was like a bad dream. And when I came home, there it was, and I didn't drive, and I was stuck on the top of Beacon Street. And I did finally take driving lessons, but it was terribly upsetting. And by the time I got back to school in the fall, I was not in the best of health. And I caught everything. I mean, anybody that caught a cold, I got it. And all kinds of things, rashes and anything that could go wrong. Ended up in the infirmary, and they said it was a lot of it was due to nerves. I was a hyper kid. Always was a hyper kid. I'm still hyper, but I try to be better. Then my father remarried. That wasn't the easiest adjustment to make either, although my mother had prepared me. She had always said, in case anything ever happens to me, you know that your father should remarry. And she made it very clear, and that was a big help. It was an enormous help. And don't let anybody tell you not to finish college. You be sure you promise me that you'll finish college if anything should happen to me. Because somebody will say to you, you should come home and take care.